Welcome to the Becoming Whole podcast, where our aim is to help men, women, and families to learn and live God's good, holy, and beautiful design for sexuality. I'm your host, Josh Glazer, and you're listening to episode number 161, Damn These Eyes. Ready? Let's dive in. Years ago, I remember watching, I think it was Saturday Night Live skit. I'm not sure. It was some late night skit. And I remember there was a guy on the in the skit who had this affliction. And the affliction was that these red laser beams, red lights would come out of his eyes and point exactly on where he was looking. And so if he looked at, you know, somebody's wallet on a desk, they would know he's looking at the wallet. If he's reading over their shoulder, they would know he's reading over their shoulder. If he's looking at a part of a woman's body that he shouldn't be looking at, then that person would know. And he got into all sorts of trouble with it. And his key line throughout the thing was every time he'd get discovered for looking somewhere, just glancing somewhere that somebody might misperceive, he would say, "Damn these eyes. Damn these eyes." Why did I bring that up? I bring it up because a lot of us, I think, including us Christians, we live with a mindset that is against our bodies, against our eyes. I think in the realm of sexuality, I think in the realm of eating, I think in the realm of aging, I think a lot of us approach our bodies as though our bodies are the enemy. So our bodies are against the life we really want. Now, it's understandable because we feel lots of stuff in our bodies that isn't good. We get sick in our bodies. It doesn't feel good. I mean, obviously, there's something wrong. When we sin with our bodies. We eat too much. We sin sexually. We drink too much. I mean, et cetera, et cetera. That's what we do with our bodies. And even our bodies, as I mentioned here on this podcast before, sometimes our bodies, even in the area of temptation, our bodies can feel pleasure. That's where we feel what we feel moving us towards temptation and things that God has forbidden us to do. So we can take on this position where we kind of have that same mindset, you know, damn this body. The guy who founded our ministry shares that before he came to Christ, he and a coworker of his, they were nominal Christians. And they used to say things like, you know, I can't wait till I go to heaven and I'm finally free from this body and I can just be a spirit floating around. I remember growing up thinking that, you know, when we died, we became angels. Well, the truth is that Christianity doesn't teach that when we die, we become angels. And Christianity doesn't teach that when we die, we become spirits. Christianity does not teach that when we die, we'll be rid of our bodies, that we will no longer be embodied creatures. Christianity, the scripture testifies and that Christianity really teaches that our bodies are created by God and that they are very good. And that in the last day, our bodies will be raised again. So God's heart is not against our bodies. God's heart is for our bodies. And this matters so much as we are wrestling with temptations and sins and afflictions on this earth that hit our body. Why does this matter? It matters because if we believe that our bodies are the enemy, then we're going to be fighting against ourselves. If we believe that the wrong enemy is the enemy, then we'll be fighting against something that's actually meant to be our ally. So let me unpack this because I believe that actually sometimes scripture confuses us on this. And we pick certain passages out and can get more confused about the role of our bodies. And I think one of those passages is Romans 8. So Paul talks in Romans 8, the first part of Romans 8, about the opposition of flesh and spirit. And he says things like, for those who are in accord with the flesh, this is verse 5, set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who are in accord with the spirit, the things of the spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace, because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, if we misunderstand what Paul is saying here, we actually end up vilifying our bodies and like I said, turning against our bodies. But we know that Christianity doesn't teach this because the center point of our faith, the center point of our belief is Jesus Christ embodied, that the Word became flesh. This is John 1. The Word became flesh. So if our bodies are automatically bad, if our bodies are bad, then the incarnation of Christ ceases to make sense. First of all, the ancient heresy of Gnosticism taught that the body, in essence, it taught that the body is bad, that things on earth, the fleshly things, the physical world is bad. It's just inherently bad. But the spiritual world is good. The spiritual world is good. And that leads to one of two conclusions. One, Gnosticism, that view of Gnosticism, leads people to just indulge the flesh because it doesn't matter anyway. It can't do any good. And so we might as well just indulge it, you know, eat, drink, be merry, have sex, blah, blah, blah. For tomorrow we die because this is our body. Who cares? And I think we see remnants of that in our culture today. You know, the body doesn't matter. It's insignificant, even to the point where your body isn't really you. And so if your body doesn't feel like you, then just change it. Have surgery. You can even change your, quote unquote, change your sex, which Christianity disagrees with. You can't. This is who you are. So one is we just indulge the body. We just, you know, do whatever with it. The other is we become Stoics and we move that direction where we just try to deprive the body of everything. And I think a lot of Christianity has gone this route as well, where we just have this, we are highly suspicious of our bodies, highly suspicious of our bodily desires. Because the body is vilified, we ought not trust it with anything. But this is not congruent with what Christianity teaches. It's not congruent with the testimony of Scripture. Jesus became flesh. He became fully human, even as he retained himself as fully God. So he's fully God and fully human. And the early church fathers really went to great lengths to teach and to support the reality that the incarnation of Jesus was an affirmation of the goodness of the body. I think which one was it? Athanasius, who talked about when God moved into the realm of human body, he, in essence, moved into the neighborhood and declared that the body is good. And I think we could extrapolate from that, just kind of think about, you know, if a really well-known, well-respected, famous person moved into your neighborhood, that would speak really, really highly of your neighborhood. Well, guess what? God moved into your neighborhood. He moved into your enfleshed experience. And that means that he is dignified forever and ever in all of creation. The angels look and they go, there is something special about the human body. How do we know? Because God himself, the creator of all, saw fit to move into the human body. This is part of why it's the center point of our faith, the incarnation. The other reason that it's the center point or one of the center points of our faith, the center point of our faith, that Christ became flesh. And again, the church fathers taught about this. They said, that which is not assumed is not healed. That which is not assumed cannot be healed. And what they meant by that was, as human beings afflicted by sin, we are in our condition. And so we can't take ourselves out of our condition. We can't fix the problem because we are so enmeshed with the problem. And so we needed someone, we needed a power greater than ourselves. We needed our creator himself to enter into our condition, to assume our condition so that we could be rescued from our condition. And so when Jesus became flesh, he assumed into himself the fullness of our human experience so that we could be redeemed. So again, all this to say, we don't want to vilify our bodies. One final point here. I was reading from Romans 8 before. Read on in Romans 8. And at the end of Romans 8, Paul talks about how we are awaiting the redemption of our bodies. So why do we seek to walk in healthy and holy ways bodily? Why do we reject Stoicism that vilifies the body? And why do we reject Gnosticism, which rejects the body? Why do we reject those extremes? Why do we reject indulging bodily desires that point us away from God? We do so not because we are against the body, but because we are for the body. Christ becoming flesh means he is for the body. He loves our bodies and actually did not see fit to just discard them, but to enter in that they could be raised, they could be redeemed, and that we could come to honor God in our bodies. And Paul writes about that in Romans 12 when he says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Well, what does that mean? It means that God desires our bodies. Why would we offer our bodies to God if they were loathsome? Why would we be instructed to offer our bodies to God if he had no appreciation, if he did not value them? But he does value them. And Jesus reveals that to us when he became flesh. So practically speaking, say you're battling lust, or you're battling some type of unwanted sexual behavior, and you feel in your body desire towards a person who's not your spouse or towards illicit material online. What does it change for you to recognize that this battle is not a battle against your body, but it is a battle for your body? That resisting is not you resisting your body, it's resisting sin on behalf of your body. And how might you even invite your body through, because the Holy Spirit indwells your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Another testimony that God does not despise our bodies. How might you include your body in moving away from the unwanted sexual behavior? If you're wrestling with what you eat, how might knowing that your body is good and that God loves your body, how might that change how you approach your wrestling with, or your journey with food or drink or whatever else it is that you're wrestling with? What if it's scrolling through mindlessly through a news feed? Why do you pull yourself away? Why do you discipline your body? Because you love your body, because God loves your body. I heard one person put it this way. He said, it's not that we have a body. We are a body. Not that we have a body, but we are a body. To be a human being is to be both spirit and body. We are this unique fusion of the two. You take the body away and you cease to be a human. You take the spirit away and you cease to be human. We are spirit and body. And isn't that a beautiful thing? God does not want you to split your body off from your spirit. As a matter of fact, he wants to unite his spirit with our spirit in order to give life to our mortal bodies. One final thought here, 1 Corinthians 6. Paul writes these promising, promising words. He says, the body is not for sexual immorality. He's talking about sexual morality in this one section. He says, the body is not for sexual immorality, but, and this is the point, but the body is for the Lord. Meaning, God has created your body uniquely, specifically. He has designed your body for the Lord. The Lord fits with your body. The Holy Spirit is meant to reside in your body. That's the shape of your body. It is a perfect fit. And then he goes on to say, he says, your body is made for the Lord, and the Lord is for your body. Be blessed with that today. I hope that's encouraging to you. Thanks for listening in. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave a review. And as always, thanks for joining me for Becoming Whole. I'm Josh Glazer. I'll see you next time.